Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, and may I be the first to say, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. 2019.
It's 2019. Well, we're obviously not recording this in 2019, so I wonder what the world will be like in 2019.
Oh, James. In the future, and everyone's hovering around with no legs. Just cut off at the waist and hovering around.
All dripping blood everywhere.
Loads of space blood.
Dripping silver blood all over the floor.
But they'll still need to eat in the future.
No,
am I
but
right, Ed?
No, but that's the problem.
Yeah,
they've got no butts, James.
They got no butts.
They're hovering around.
Still got mouths though, and the food goes in the mouth and straight out the bottom of the body, I guess.
Anyway, welcome to the show. First thing you need to know is James was an hour and a half late because he slept through his alarm. We'll talk about that with our guest.
Well, yes.
You look like you're about to protest that until you realised I just gave pure facts.
It did happen, yes.
Yeah, it did happen. It did happen, which is why this intro feels slightly rushed, because we've got to go somewhere else.
Yeah, we now got to go and film an episode of our
other
YouTube food show, and I'm going to eat some puddings and describe them to Ed.
Yes, we're looking forward to that. But of course, now this is the main priority, of course, is Off Menu, the Off Menu podcast. Today with our wonderful guest, Ashlyn B.
What a wonderful guest. It was so great. So many great foods. I won't give any spoilers, but I had a lovely time.
So did I. I think it was a particularly funny episode, actually.
Yes. Oh, and very importantly, every single episode, we say that there's an ingredient that if the guest mentions, we kick them out of the restaurant. And I can reveal that today the ingredient is cloves.
Cloves. I hate cloves, James.
Disgusting.
They're disgusting. I don't like the flavour they impart. And sometimes they'll just be in the meal and you'll crunch down on one by accident.
Worst day of my life when I did that.
Yeah.
I did that when I was a little kid, bit into a clove, and I was so miserable, ruined the whole meal, like a perfume bomb going off in your mouth.
Yeah, it's horrible. Absolutely disgusting. So if Ashling meant, I mean, I'm finding it difficult to foresee a situation where Ashling might bring up cloves, but if she does, she's out on her ass.
She is out on her ass.
Thank you very much. But we'll come back and have a little chat to you after the episode. But for now, this is Ashlyn B. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, guys. Or should I say to James, good afternoon.
I was late to the restaurant today.
Right, so
no, late is you just didn't turn up and then turned up at a different time.
Yeah.
That's late is what I was.
Yes, that's true.
I was a cheeky 20 minutes late.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I texted you and was wondering why you didn't text me back. I thought, God, he must be so angry with me.
Because he'll get you about it late.
Turn up, yeah. James is 1 hour late.
1 hour, 20 minutes late. So just to explain what happened. We were meeting Ashlyn at 10 a.m, bright and early, to record this episode. Ashlyn turned up 15 minutes late, which I think is acceptable. That's
it was
an acceptable
20, if I'm honest.
Yeah, okay, yeah. But I think that's acceptable for a guest.
Yeah,
also,
yeah,
you come from New York today?
Saturday, but still, it takes ages.
As well,
yeah. Swimming is long.
Yeah.
Now, I know you live far away, James.
Yep.
You live, you know, in a bit of London that's slightly more difficult to get from.
Sure.
But you slept through your alarm, didn't you?
Yeah, slept right through the alarm.
Yeah.
Woke up just naturally.
That's how lovely for you.
And I thought to myself, oh no, this feels a bit too natural the way I'm waking up. But I'll look at my alarm. I've done this before and I've woken up before my alarm. So maybe that's what's happened.
Oh, you don't want to have the day steal sleep from you and be cheated out of an extra cheeky
wasn't
five.
Wasn't going to have that.
No,
looked
thank
at,
you.
Looked at my watch. Oh, I was meant to be there 20 minutes ago and I'm still in bed. Had to ring up. I felt so bad the whole journey. Not been good. Not been fun.
Not a good day so far for you?
I'm on the back foot, guys. Listeners, I am on the back foot.
Do you still feel like you're waking up right now?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
You've become less of a friend now, more of a showbiz friend that I smile at because of what happened today.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm like, it's fine, James. It's honestly, it's not like my time is worth anything.
I just thank God that it was Aisling B here today, who was willing to just sit here and do a little bit of work. Get on with their own stuff.
Payment
do some
taxes, ordered a jacket. Don't worry about it.
That's
well, you told me you were doing work, but...
I mean...
You ordered a jacket.
Yeah. I mean...
So,
yeah.
Wear that on stage? Yeah.
For my... Yeah,
claim,
exactly.
Claim on that.
Oh, listen. If you look at my receipts for my taxes, everything I've worn on stage.
Not technically allowed to do that. But no, anyway, that's a different discussion.
That was another one of my great jokes.
Yeah, it's a different discussion. Imagine if it had been one of our other guests.
Yep.
One of our more sort of
angry sorry,
guests.
What are you trying to say, Ed?
Well,
one of your more important guests?
Richard Osman would have flipped this table over. He would have been so angry that you were late, but luckily, Aisling was nice.
Yeah, some people were angry.
I feel like you're backpedaling there from what you really wanted to say. Imagine we had a high status person on.
That's honestly where I was going with it.
Do you know what? Sounds like Ed.
I don't backpedal.
Between the two of you, I'm having a terrible time.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Anyway, welcome to the fucking restaurant.
Thanks a million, lads. Great to be here.
So this is
service is terrible. I can tell you that much already.
The waiter is very late.
Putting the wait into waiter, the two of you.
So we should probably explain what's going on here. Mm-hmm. You get to order your dream meal, starter, main side, drink, dessert. James, you're the waiter. Would you like to appear officially?
Bart was falling.
Yeah,
I'm a genie as well, just so you know.
Are you?
Yep.
Oh my God.
Yep, I'm a genie waiter because this is a dream restaurant. We can have whatever you want. You can have any food that you've had in your whole life from any specific place, any specific time. I can get it for you. Welcome to the restaurant. I'm a genie. And your waiter for the evening.
I want to rub you the right way, James.
Yeah.
Here's a question I had, because I've been thinking about this a lot. I've been very excited about doing this podcast. I've been salivating thinking about it. And does the meal have to make sense as a whole? Mm.
That is up to you.
It's up to you, yeah.
If you feel comfortable with making the weirdest meal of all time, that's fine.
I remember the first time I went to New York City and I went to a deli and I'd never seen a deli before. And
such a New York story.
It's such a New York, isn't it? You can really hear the honking of the angry horns from the men who I won't have sex with.
I don't know, honking in the background.
Yeah, thank you. That's James honking his horn there in the background. And I went into a deli and I was like, you can put anything you want into the box for just the weight of it. And I remember putting I'll take this for my dinner later. Like such a rookie error. And I put like sushi and mash and sweet and sour chicken because I had meat at the time. Like all my favorite things. And I swear, you've never seen anything like that box when I got it home. That summer's night from my handbag. And I was like, oh, there's a reason Japan, China and Ireland don't have a fusion restaurant.
They probably still talk about you in that deli.
Crazy
Irish lady came in and had sushi and mashed potato.
Mash? Are you crazy? My granddad was actually quite open-minded about food and he would eat anything as long as it came with mash. So we'd order Chinese and he'd get mash. Like mash was like the fork.
Yeah.
The very basics of a dinner was mash.
Yeah, you have that to stick to the plate.
Yeah,
it's so like
you'd have
cement.
Rice and mash.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. You build on the mash.
Yeah.
And every Chinese restaurant in Ireland as well, God love them, they all have to do chips, curry chips.
That sounds good,
Indian.
The law.
Yeah, sauce over an Irish product in a Chinese restaurant. God bless us, everyone.
Modern day.
So you're pescatarian?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so I eat fish.
You eat fish.
I hate them, but out of a vengeance.
Introduced me to pokey.
Oh, poke in...
You introduced me to it.
When we were in Hollywood together, Ed, don't worry about
it. Wow, this is just so many great stories about America.
Yeah, yeah. One time we went
actually,
to see...
Actually, America, don't you? You love it.
I do love America. Love being out there. Mm. In fact, we've all been out in America together.
We've all been
time.
Out in America.
Chasing our little dreams. I brought James to the World of Leggings. I've got a picture of that somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
It's a big shop that sells all different types of leggings.
From all across the world.
And my legs looked like the mannequin's legs.
Oh, the mannequin's legs at the time because they were so skinny and white.
Yeah, yeah.
James is the same colour as your basic mannequin. Yes, I went to the World of Leggings and said, James, I can show you the world. So yes, we didn't choose poke. I love poke. Is basically
nice.
Tuna, ahi tuna. And I say tuna because that's what they say in America.
Tuna.
Ahi tuna. So it's ahi tuna with some rice, some like scallions, which you call them
and
in Ireland, green onions.
Some mash.
And I'm on a bit of mash if you wouldn't mind. I'm not an animal.
It's a side of mash, a little corner of mash.
Just a little like side pasta bucket like they do vinaigrette. Can I have mash over mine?
Mash on the side, please.
Mash on the side. I remember my friend Steph about two Christmases ago. She's American and she wasn't going back to America. So we were like, do you want to come back to Ireland for Christmas with us? And she was like, oh my God, I have to say, you guys are so funny, the amount of... potatoes you have in one meal. And I was like, don't be ridiculous, Steph. I was like, we had like obviously gratin, but that's not really a potato. Gratin dauphinoise, it's like cheese, not a potato. Then like roast potatoes for texture and mash for texture, and then a jacket potato on the side. But that, like, that's not, I wouldn't call that excessive, Steph. But it'd be like four
your main
in
potatoes.
One meal.
First of all, I'm going to get you some water. Would you like still or sparkling?
Still always, please, James. I like a water that runs deep.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Also, I just don't like sparkling water. Maybe it's because I'm so humble. You know?
I think
like
so.
I'm very
yeah.
down to earth.
Tap, would you say, you'd say tap, wouldn't you?
I'd say
if
tap.
If I'd given you that option.
Water, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I get all my staff to bring me tap water all the time.
Sure, yeah. So
oh, my chef loves bringing it to me. And it just keeps me grounded. You
sure,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I do, you know, the one thing I got like when I, from panel shows, got a bit of cash, my favourite thing in the world that I bought, and I was like, God, Aisling, you've made it big now, was on my sink in my main, in my kitchen, the
main
sink.
Your main kitchen?
Oh, this is what I think it is.
In my main kitchen. Ed, which kitchen have you been in? Probably the sort
I
of
I think it was the servant's
pantry.
Kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool. The kitchen behind the kitchen.
Yeah, that
Aisling's
one.
One of the Millibands.
Yes. And I got a Brita filter insert into my tap,
right,
which means in London I can get on tap filtered water, so I don't have to put it in a jug.
That is good, actually.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I thought you were
yeah.
going to say that you have one of those boiling hot taps.
That'll be my next if down the road.
A quokka, I believe.
Oh, because it's too much. It was like £600 to get one,
right,
and
okay.
I couldn't.
Can we get a sponsorship from Quokka Taps, please?
Quokka?
Quokka.
We'd all like one
quokka,
installed.
Quokka, Quokka.
This podcast has been brought to you by Quokka Taps. Quokka, for hot tea fast.
There you go. That was great.
Is that all right?
So good. That's a perfect
for
podcast.
Hot tea fast is a really good... Is that their slogan anyway?
No, I just made it up.
That's so good.
Oh, my God.
That's proper good.
Yeah.
Well, looks like
it brings me to the boil. Like, do lots of different ones. That'd be great.
The laugh was pretty creepy, but apart from that,
creepy. Yeah, that's my main laugh.
Yeah, you should be laughing like that all day.
And then you laugh like that. You wish.
That's not creepy. It's very open.
Now we should pop an arms up, Red Ashley.
Interesting. With the meal I'm about to choose, I don't really want to pop a dom. I would love some sourdough.
Oh, yes.
And loads of real butter. I don't want olive oil. I want real Kerrygold Irish butter. And I will slather it on and potentially ruin the dinner because I love bread so much.
Tell me about Kerrygold Irish butter. I don't know what that is.
Kerrygold Irish butter, brought to you by Aisling B. Kerrygold Irish butter is a delicious butter that we're brought up eating in Ireland.
You
pure.
Know Kerrygold.
No.
It comes in the
James,
paper, the
put
gold
yourself
paper.
Together.
You'd know it if you saw it.
Yeah, it's in golden paper, like a Willy Wonka bar, but for like savoury people.
I think I'd remember that, Ed. I think I'd remember a Willy Wonka savoury.
It's all over the place. In Ireland, they eat it like a Willy Wonka chocolate bar
as
well.
They
unwrap it.
Wow.
If you want a view of paradise, and if you get the right one, you get a trip to the butter factory. So, yeah, I love Kerrygold butter. I buy it wherever I go.
Yeah.
And And it's like way more expensive than even probably nicer butter in areas like in New York, or I even bought in Malaysia once when I was at Malaysia. Oh, and like, but just some part of me goes, I love my country when I buy it.
Nostalgic, does it?
Tastes of your childhood? I mean, it tastes, maybe. I think it's more buying it makes me feel like a connection to, like I'm doing like.
It's good butter. The best butter I've ever had is in France though. The little logs that have, little logs of butter
salt
that have chunks of
on
salt.
The top, yeah.
Chunks of salt.
Yeah. I had that. I think I've spoken about this on the podcast before, but I once had butter, caramelized butter that had basically pork scratchings in it.
Jesus. Caramelized though, because I'm not a fan, and I'll say it here now, lads.
Yep.
Sweet and savory. I don't like salted caramel. I like things to be separate.
Right, okay.
And I don't like the idea of caramelized butter with so. Who are you? Are you a baby or an adult? Don't try and be both. You know?
I want to be both. Big was one of my favourite films as a kid.
That's so creepy. I talked about this on a friend of the podcast, Brett Goldstein's other podcast recently. Can't move for doing podcasts at the moment, guys.
I think we should decide who's the friend of the podcast. Yeah. I'm not sure about. I want Brett to be.
Okay.
Brett, you just called him Brett then.
Brett
Goldstein.
Old Brett Goldstein.
I guess he is a friend of the podcast.
Yeah. So, our friend, Sourdough Brett Goldstein, and we were talking about Big and how it doesn't stand up. Like, it's creepy. She has sex with a child.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Mm. Even as a kid, when I liked the film, I did think. They're not addressing the thing at the end. Like, because there's that point when he turns back into a little boy and he turns around and waves at her.
Yeah.
And she doesn't break down crying.
She
and
should immediately
drive her car
be sick,
cliff.
Right? Yeah, she should be sick.
She should be like, ugh. If that, the end of Big should be he waves at her and then she goes, ugh.
She can't go on.
Oh my God.
Hope you all enjoyed listening to that on your headphones at home. So. Starter.
Now, when I was thinking of a starter, I couldn't think of one isolated one that I'd ever had. But I know one thing I always try and order that always makes me feel nom 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 nom. And it's how do you call it? Like battered calamari, like squid in breadcrumbs.
Yes.
And I get that whether it's at a Thai restaurant or it's at an Italian place, or I just, there's something about the rubberiness of a squid with the bread crumminess of crunchy bread, and just a big bowl of them with a dip, and there's no end, and salt, and there never seems to be an end to them. And again, it can be a bit like a dinner in itself, but also like, I don't eat meat for environmental reasons more than anything, and also for cruelty. Like, it's not like I don't believe people shouldn't eat animals, but I believe that the farming industry is so cruel. And in the same way, we have degrees of murder for humans, because you don't just go, all murder's the same. You're like, how cruel were they when they murdered them?
Yeah, sure.
How cruel were they? Yeah. I feel like we do. I feel like we should have the same thing with animals. Like, how cruel are you that you kept them alive?
Yeah,
anyways, side note.
That's good. Can I steal that opinion? Because I'm really looking for a way to eat what I want whilst also seeming like a really good guy.
Yeah. How cruelly did it die?
Okay, cool.
Like, if it was like walking down the street, if the cow was walking down the street at night, you bash on its head, it didn't know, and it was gone.
Yeah.
Eat away.
Oh, okay.
If you sat it down in a chair, strapped it to something, and like started, I don't know, doing some of your stand-up to it, Ed, before you kill it, I would find that cruel.
Very cruel, yeah.
So, yes. So there's something about calamari that I feel is so brain dead. When I look at it, I'm like, I want to eat you. One time I was watching... You know Blue Planet?
Yeah.
I, in a sort of meta way, my favourite thing was watching Blue Planet in the bath in the dark with some candles on, which I realise sounds a bit more erotic than a man with three men.
Look, whatever you're into is fine, okay?
I was fully clothed, don't worry.
That's weirder.
And there I was in my tracksuit in the bath. And
Ritter-filtered bath.
Always. And I always remember hearing about Jerry Seinfeld, like how wealthy he was.
Right.
And this is before I started stand-up, that he had Evian in his shower. That was just always a little fact. In his shower in the Hamptons, he had Evian.
That can't be true.
I don't know. I don't know if it is. But considering where I am now and where he is, I'm like, yeah, I suppose he's doing that much better than me. So where was I? Oh, I'd be in the bath in my tracksuit watching Blue Planet. And It would be on. I'd be watching all the little linguinis and crabs. That's not the names of them. I just
linguinis is a type of pasta. Yeah. I've not seen that episode of Blue Planet.
Oh, I think they were filming one day and someone dropped their pasta into the tank.
They tried to style it out.
Going, here is the pale linguini who doesn't have much brain cells. And as there was a bit on a squid, like a funny squid, and I know I should have been going, oh, wow, isn't the planet amazing? But instead I was like, I'd batter you. Eat you in with some aioli, dip you little, or chop up your arms and just like batter you crispy, make you crispy and just stick you in some aioli.
I find it too.
Was Attenborough also saying that over the top?
Here we are. And this next little fella is delicious with IO.
I'm going to batter you.
Can I tell you another hashtag celeb fact? I was in a recording studio recording an audiobook, and I was told that next door was David Attenborough doing the next series of, and I was allowed to go in and watch. Quick fact. He does 6 hours in a row without a toilet break.
What?
He sits there and he sounds, and like, it is hard to do readings for that long.
Yeah.
Your voice and everything. Yeah. Like, I'm constantly, even now, sipping this green juice from smartcoffeecrush.com. Just trying to get as much branding as possible.
Much sponsorship.
Hopefully, that's what I'm trying to do. And he was doing page after page without a toilet break. Which I found fascinating.
That's amazing. It's like a camel. He's seen so many camels in his life, he's become one.
He's known how to David Attenborough. Put a nappy in his back, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what a camel is.
A nappy in his back.
Yeah. Humps or nappy in their backs, as I like to call them.
Little back nappies.
Yeah, he was. That's what you picked up off him, right?
Yeah. Back nappies.
Yeah.
Now, calamari, there's often, there's different types of, because you can get the salt and pepper squid.
Or, salt and peppers here.
Yeah, there's different things on calamari. Isn't there's chili. You can get chili on it.
Can't do chili now. I've slowly built up my tolerance to be able to, like, say, eat something more than, say, a korma in an Indian restaurant. But I come from a family, like, where my mother was like, oh, Aisling, what's in that soup? It's very spicy. And I was like, it's tomato and basil soup. Mommy, I think it might be pepper. Yeah. So I've like a low tolerance for spice.
Right.
So chili, I can't do chili squid.
You can't eat chili squid.
For example, yeah.
That's off the table.
Or when people bring, like, I got hot sauce in my bag, swag. Like Beyonce said, I'd be like, I got some little yogurt in my bag, swag.
just to cool down the basil.
Just to cool down, in case. Yeah, so can't do chili.
So no chili. Genie. Salt and pepper squid.
Bien sûr, mon
ami. You would like that kind of stuff? I like the calamari in chain restaurant Basaba. Have you been there?
Yes. Basaba Itai.
I would say that calamari is so good that it's got its own special little box on the menu. It says it's their signature.
Yeah. It's a signature, like Zed for Zorro.
Yeah.
Exactly calamari like for Basaba.
They just leave calamari after every crime.
At the scene of a crime, they just leave one ring.
Yeah.
Do you know, actually, if there's any vegans out there, I mean, my two Hollywood friends here will know this. You know Cafe Gratitude in LA? Have you ever been?
I'm sure I have.
I've never been because the whole idea of it makes my anus crawl up into my neck.
Oh, yes, so and that's how you eat when you're there.
Yeah.
So Cafe Gratitude is this famous vegan restaurant in Hollywood in Los Angeles. And most British people go there and go, come on, mate, like Ed Gamble would. And it's basically a vegan restaurant where every time the server comes over, she goes, hey, can I get you anything? Still water? I always say tap, thank you.
Yeah.
And she's like, also today, our gratitude question is, so you can think about it while you order, what brings you joy? And every day the question is different. I can already see your two British faces.
Yep.
No, thank you.
Well,
not in the mood for it.
I mean, it gets worse.
Not at all.
The menu items are named... What are they called?
Yeah, like gratitude bowl, hope burrito.
But you have to order it by saying like I feel gratitude or I feel happiness.
Well, I would like the happiness.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Please, I would like the happiness.
The happiness of a burrito bowl.
Yeah, but I have to say the food is. If you're like looking for an alternative, the food is delicious because it has to be. And one, like say they've a cake made out of avocado and you're like, this is bullshit. Actually, it's really lovely. Like a key lime pie made out of avocado. And one of the things I had as an alternative to calamari was, it's called Young Coconut. And every time I said it, you know that song, Cause We Young Dumb, Young, Young Dumb and Broke. I'm not sure if you know that song.
I don't think I do that.
Every time I heard it, it's like Young Dumb Broke High School Kids. Whip, 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 whip. Anyways, that's a song. All my teen followers will know it who are listening in. And every time I had to say Young Coconut, I wanted to say Young, 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 Young Coconut.
Yeah. I bet they would have let you do that.
Yeah.
They would have absolutely been like, that brings you joy. Sing from your heart, sing from where you're.
Young Coconut does sound like a rapper with a tattoo on his face.
Yeah. Big up Young Coconut. Yeah.
Y-U-N-G Coconut.
Oh, Young. Spell it. Yeah. Or if he was a bit of a a philosopher, he could be called J-U-N-G, which is Carl Young.
Wow, we're all over the place. Highbrow, lowbrow.
I don't know who my audience is, to be honest.
I would find it very difficult not to say something rude when they ask me what brings me joy, even though I'm not.
Could I have a wank, please, Carol?
Yeah, I'm not particularly blue.
You're not particularly blue.
But in that situation where everyone's being so earnest, I would find it very difficult not to want to ruin it.
Yeah, I've never thought of you as not blue, but you're definitely not blue, James.
Yeah, not
you
very
don't.
Blue.
Yeah, you don't. You might curse a bit, sure.
Yeah,
sure. The not
genie,
an angel.
The genie from Aladdin's blue, though.
Oh, that's true. Very good.
He's very blue. Yeah.
And that's a very clean joke.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Very.
It is the worst thing in the world is when you think you're doing family friendly material for, like, there's this gig which I'll talk about later actually, on St. Patrick's Day. Which is one, like, family friendly. And I was like going through my set list going, yup. And until you're on stage, I didn't realize nearly everything I have ends with like mendic or fingering or, and I didn't know until the end. So I had to sort of style out.
Yeah.
But of course, as we all know, I got an enjoyable evening out of it. Well, all the best. You don't realize sometimes your stuff's.
I remember chatting to you before you went into a gig that you're, family were going to be at, and you had to do your fingering routine.
You
were talking to me quite seriously about
it. My mother, my aunt, her friend from work, Barbara, who's Polish.
Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah, and she came out and goes, no, it was actually very, I got what you meant about it, I understood. And I was like, oh, thanks, Barbara. She wasn't looking me in the eye, though. So in this place, they did Young Coconut, which is a calamari substitute, and it was so delicious.
Right.
I thought I was eating, because coconut skin inside, when deep fat fried, is that kind of squashy white calamari stuff.
Okay.
And it was so tasty. And it made me think maybe we should leave those little fishies in the pond and just,
just
eat those
sweet
coconuts.
And what, do you remember the question that they gave you to think about?
Oh, I'll be honest. I've been a couple of times, guys. I'm a white girl who's into crystals. Yeah. It wasn't my first trip or my last.
I wonder if you can remember any of your answers.
Oh, I think I definitely would have answered with a joke.
Right.
I never like totally buy into it. I respect the right to do it.
Sure.
And I enjoy the vibe.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't maybe totally answer it because I'm like, well, I don't think we should stretch for happiness. I think hopefulness and just an acceptance of who we are is probably better. But that answer doesn't go down that well.
That would be great if you said that.
Expecting kites and rainbows.
We've got calamari.
Yes,
good
for a starter,
with a dip, with aioli, you said.
I think so, Ed.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice.
I do think so. Yeah.
It's a really good dip, actually.
Yeah, it's a good solid dip. I wouldn't have it on a date. You know,
sure.
Garlic.
It's not date food.
No,
yeah.
It's more pals.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't want to
be
like,
it's a pal dip.
So how is everything? Yeah. Oh, you know, because that's the thing about something garlicky, isn't it? You have to have a level of comfort with the people you're with.
Big deal. They'll go. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember my parents having discussions about them having friends round for a meal when they were cooking a curry.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember witnessing a huge chat about how much garlic was going in the curry beforehand because like, like, oh yeah, we're all going to go to, because they're going out afterwards as well.
Yeah.
A big night. And they were like, we can't just feed everyone a garlicky curry and then I'll go out.
And you,
it's a really long serious chat.
You feel it's it if you go out the house.
Memory
like
of my
that,
childhood.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's just, and you'd maybe have a wedge of lemon on the side.
Oh,
to
I
squeeze
would.
Over
I'm
it.
So sorry. I forgot that.
You've got
and
to
do you squeeze that over?
Oh, I would.
Mark of being
Here's
an adult.
An interesting thing, if you want another celebrity fact, because, you know, I'm absolutely being totes Hollywood now.
Yeah, yeah.
Arriving 20 minutes late.
Yeah. Which you still yet to apologize to me for.
So I'm working on this Netflix show at the moment with Paul Rudd.
Mm, mm.
And And I don't think he'll mind me telling this because I think it's mad. Paul doesn't like sauces.
What?
That is very odd.
What a weird Hollywood thing.
No mustard. No, yeah, we've gone for food and we're eating together lunches and stuff. He doesn't, no vinaigrettes, no mustard, no ketchup. I'm talking about a man who'll order chips or fries, as we call them.
So you just eat them dry?
Dry. Chicken, dry. Everything, dry. No sauces.
Big bowl of sand, please. What if it came in a sauce?
Yeah.
Like, does he not order dishes that already come in sauce?
He'd order things and can I get no sauce over that? Or like, does it come with mustard or anything? Or he'd have a burger, no ketchup or mustard.
Right. What?
The nearest thing to a sauce would be melted
cheese. What brings you
cheese.
Joy, Paul Rudd? Absolutely nothing.
Dryness.
I was like, Paul, it's the dinner of a psychopath that you could put up with that much dryness.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember one time, again, when I meet a friend I had, which is a popular choice of wedding, a hog roast, and I turned up I turned up to the afters, and they made hog roast sandwiches with in floury baps with no butter around
them. Oh,
and I nearly choked to death. It was like, it was so dry, it managed to suck the moisture from inside me and the air from my neck. I was like,
yeah.
Did it have crackling in it as well?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. All the driest things with no...
Stuffing?
Because
that makes it even worse.
No, actually.
A lot of the time.
No. Yeah, bread on bread action.
Oh, God.
Bread squared.
Well, I hope they're divorced.
When we have Paul Rudd on the podcast, we'll be prepared for that.
Yeah, exactly. Expect a dry
podcast.
Oh, yeah, when
on there, we'll deliberately bait him. We'll ask him if he wants sauce with everything.
Yeah.
You have to have a sauce.
Does that extend to desserts? Would he not have it on an ice cream sundae?
Interesting question. He doesn't really eat sweets.
Right, I mean, this guy.
He's on the Ant-Man
diet.
Who
is this guy?
Absolute piece of work.
So yeah, he doesn't. Actually, though, I did bring him a load of, because his parents are English, and so I got him a load of like crunchies. Because they're the things he misses. He's
so dry.
Crunchies. Yeah, really dry honeycomb.
Yeah.
So that's the thing he remembers from his childhood. Beanos and crunchies.
So eccentric. So eccentric man. He's married to Phoebe, to be fair. So he's going to be pretty
eccentric. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's
the two.
So
can you imagine what the two of them must be like? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
So,
mm-hmm.
Main course.
The Big Daddy.
The Big Daddy. Now, this isn't... I don't know if I'd order this on Death Row, because Death Row is a very different kettle of fish.
Yeah.
What are you looking for in Death Row? Your best possible meal or comfort at the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They come to you on Death Row, don't they? And they go,
yeah.
What would you like to eat? Also, what brings you joy?
Yeah. Yeah, before you know.
Yeah.
What brings you joy? Someone believing my innocence? Just someone believing me. Okay, be right back with your KFC. I basically had, like I was talking about earlier, this St. Patrick's Day gig on the 17th of March about 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. And it's in the middle of Trafalgar Square, 4 p.m. Now, my birthday, I'm not sure if you guys remember this from other years gone by. My birthday is the 16th of March, which is the day before St. Patrick's Day. And every year since I were probably five, I've had a birthday party. And they've got increasingly kind of like, birthday party since then. And I go out and I get so excited to see my friends, but also so nervous that no one will turn up that I don't eat all day and mama has a drink. And people hand me, especially if there's any sort of house party quality to them, which there was 5 years ago. I think I had it in like a warehouse I rented out, that everyone brought their own booze. And my friend had gotten me a St. Patrick's Day cup and kept on pouring cava into it, which I do believe I'm allergic to. I mean, I'm not. I just drink too much. It just straight away. So yeah. I was knocking back cava all night. And the next morning, myself and my sister had to go and clean up the warehouse before I went into the St. Patrick's Day gig. So I'm still drunk cleaning up this warehouse. And the night before, a friend of mine who's an actor, his name is Arthur Darvill, on his way. Yeah. Do you know Arthur?
Was he in Doctor Who?
Yes, he is in Doctor Who, yes.
Oh, I'm thinking Broadchurch.
He might have been in that too.
Was he in Broadchurch as the vicar?
He might have. Well, himself, he was a year ahead of me at drama school, before I started. And we've got a good friend, Hugh Skinner, who's also a lovely man. He's in things like Mamma Mia and stuff. God, I'm name dropping all over the place.
Yeah, he was the vicar in Broadchurch. Great, but he just got him up
he
on the laptop.
He is the vicar in Broadchurch, yes. Yep. So the two of those thought it'd be funny en route to my birthday to buy a bag of frozen prawns and give them to me as a present. And to be fair, it was. And they would go around popping these frozen prawns into people's drinks like ice cream. Now, absolutely hilarious. I love a laugh as much as the next guy. You ask anyone in town, does Aisling like a laugh? They'll go, oh, Aisling, of course. But the next day when I was still a bit drunk and had to clean up an old warehouse in East London with the old prawns, like which are now into probably hour 13 on the heated ground, it was so disgusting that I started vomiting then. Mm-hmm. And
so your main is old frozen prawns.
I'm trying to see how this is building up. So you're the best main you've ever had.
So I basically vomited at the warehouse.
Yeah.
Then went home and vomited in my own house because the drink was wearing off.
That's
then
the trailer for this episode, by the way.
Then I had to get on the bus to go into Trafalgar Square to do this gig.
Yeah.
In the afternoon, had to get off the bus twice to vomit at the side of the road.
Oh my god.
And you know those like nothing left, like sweating like a pig in my Irish jersey because it's St. Patrick's Day. Everyone wearing green. I get into Trafalgar Square, which is just full of Italian people wearing Irish jerseys, also getting hammered. And I get backstage and I'm like, I go on stage and going, what if I vomit on stage? And thankfully I didn't, but I died in my arse because I was doing what I thought was family-friendly material at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in a giant tent in the middle of Trafalgar Square with a load of drunk Irish people in there and children, so many children up the front thinking it was hilarious. And I was like, and then of course, when you get to this sexy bit, you... respectfully drive everyone home. Like there was just no way of getting around any of my material and I was so sick and pasty and pale. But when I came off stage, it's like it was over.
Yeah.
It had finally been over. And I was there with Ardal O'Hanlon, Barry Murphy.
Barry Murphy.
And Dara O'Brien. And because we were all doing this Irish gig, Team Ireland in London. And I was like, God, guys, it was my birthday last night. And I really didn't think it, but I think I can finally eat again. And they were like, have you ever been to Burger and Lobster in Soho?
Oh, yes.
And I hadn't been able to eat. I hadn't eaten the whole day beforehand. I'd vomited up every possible liquid and solid and mush in my tummy. There was nothing left. It was just a pure virgin belly ready to have food at this stage, been cleansed of everything. And I was like, I've never eaten a lobster before. And they were like, you've never eaten a lobster before? I'm like, oh, Ireland, no wonder the economy crashed. And so we all went to Burger and Lobster. And no offence to Dara, Ardal and Barry.
Yep.
Three great Irish men.
Sure.
But I didn't fancy any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't fancy me. And to go to a restaurant when you're that empty of food and be given a bib and a little stick to get the buttery fish out of the lobster tail and not to fancy anyone.
Yeah.
So not to worry about the butter on your face and to sit there in a bib after vomiting for 13 hours straight. I honestly was so close to nirvana. I was like, yes! And Arlo was teaching me how to like get in, get the little stick into its dead arms and pull out the, you know, and again, sorry to all the Blue Planet fans, but I was like yanking out the little bit of lobster. You get this little
took one home
stick.
To having the bath in the dark.
Oh yeah, eat it in the bath.
Dipping it all the buttery bath.
Buttery bath. Put a lob of load of Kerrygold into my bath for my skin. Just base myself like a lobster. But I remember genuinely thinking, and I knew, you know when you know you're not going to vomit anymore, it's the best feeling in the world. You're like, oh, my whole life is now ahead of me. Because I've been so physically sad and unpredictable for so many hours. And I just remember that has been one of the best. And again, it came with a side of chips. It was St. Patrick's Day. The birthday party had gone well. I cleaned up all the old prawns in the warehouse. And just I had that lovely buttery lobster.
Burger lobster is kind of place that friends from outside of London, when they come to London, and I tell them about burger and lobster, get absolutely furious because it's exactly what they thought London was.
Yeah.
For those of people who don't know, you basically can order a burger or a lobster, and it's 20 quid.
I think it's gone up now, actually.
It's now gone up even more than 20 quid, but it was originally 20 quid.
That was the selling point of it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 20 quid.
And so that's like... And when people hear
because everyone in London's going, oh my God, that's such a good deal. Lobster, 20 quid. And then you tell anyone else, they're like, come on.
Yeah.
They started adding things to the menu, which I didn't think was necessarily a good idea because I thought the whole like USP of it was that it was two or three things, actually.
I hate when places do that.
I love the lobster
There's a place beside my house in New York called Just Salad. And then it has pictures of toasts and soups and desserts. And I'm like... Then just think about it in advance. What part of your business plan, when you came up with this title, did you not think, like, it drives me nuts, which they also do.
We've got a very odd shop next to us where we live, which is, it used to be a corner shop with a post office hatch at the back. Great.
Love it.
Then the corner shop shut down, but the post office hatch was still in the back for a while. So it was an empty room. Shop. With the post office hatch at the back, and you'd have to walk through like a deserted shop.
Mm.
Then it was taken over by some posh people, and it's now called Ella's, and it's a florist, a coffee shop, and a wine selling place. But the post office hatch is still in the back, so you've got these really posh people running around going, "Oh yeah, one flower, that's £25, please." With the grumpiest Indian man sat in the back.
Oh no, like,
they're not interacting with each other. Like, he's just trying to get with the post office.
You know, though, I have to say, I feel like I know the demographic of that shop.
Yeah,
you know, like someone goes in for a coffee and they're picking up flowers that evening because they're having people round.
Yeah,
and they're going to get a lovely bottle of wine. But flowers would be nice as well. It'd be so nice with some flowers.
Yeah,
and then do you know what? I do have to send off my tax form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I can see the people who go into that place.
That's the sort of area.
I'd like to shop and just did everything.
Yeah. I do you know, that's the one thing about America, are their bloody pharmacies. It's like they should have Willy Wonka outside going, if you want to view paradise, simply look around. You can get anything. Like,
CVS in America is just incredible. Yep.
Frying pan, tin of tuna, nail file, cleanser, morning after pill without any questions. It's just a joy. You try and get any one of those things in the UK without interrogation.
Honestly, I can't take my morning after pill unless it's mashed up into some tuna.
Went to one of them and had a froyo stand there. I also did like sorbets and stuff and little samples. So you could just get a shot of, every time I went there, I'd get a shot of the apple sorbet. It's real, real sour and nice and just walk around.
Do you think could ever be friends with someone who didn't love a sample?
I don't. Although I've known people who have liked samples too much. I'm going to say it.
Oh, I know those people, James. Yeah. You always know they'd make terrible lovers because you're like, there's a point at which you're taking the piss by how much you're taking from me and how much you're not buying. Put it that way. You're putting no money into this and I just keep giving you things for free.
I always act though when I'm taking the sample. So I'll and then I'll pick up the product and be like, oh yeah, I'm just going.
They don't care.
I'm just going to go around once more, but I'll probably come back and get some.
I think once where, so I was with my girlfriend at the time, and we went into a shop that she regularly went to.
Mm-hmm.
And she would always get a sample.
And
there.
Summers, probably. James, see, I am much bluer. Yeah. I'm much bluer than you guys.
Let's have a quick sample of this.
This truly is the blue planet.
Okay. That's as much as I need.
I feel like a blue planet callback got buried under stuff there. It was really good.
Oh, blue planet.
Really good. Yeah. Pump that up, Benito.
It got buried under a lovely joke from Aisling where she did an example of someone taking a sample of a vibrator.
That's enough. That'll do me. Yeah. Thank you. I'll go back around. I'll come back to you, though.
So much good stuff going on at once.
Yeah.
She went in there and got a cookie sample, a little sample of a little cookie. Mm-hmm. She always have a sample of cookie when she went in that shop.
Mm-hmm.
So we went in there together. I bought something, she bought that. Then we went somewhere else and I was like, oh, I should buy, I should have got a bottle of wine from that place we're at. We'll go back there. So I went back and I'm buying the wine at the thing and I could hear her having an argument in the background, and I'm looking over, and we come out, she's like, they wouldn't give me another sample in that place. And I was like, all right. They said, it says one sample per person. I was telling them, it's for you. I was like, it wasn't for me, though. She's like, yeah, but they didn't know that. And so she had a whole argument about how she was getting a cookie sample for me, and they were like, well, he's got to come and get it. But he's buying the wine, I'm getting it for him. And like...
I know your friend who that is, and I have to say, we love tiny bites of things.
Yes.
It's the one thing that connects us as friends, and our favorite thing to do. We've gone to a few weddings together. We just love tiny bites. Mm. It's not even the freeness of it. It's the tiny bites.
Tiny bites sounds like that's another friend of yours.
Yeah.
And we just love tiny bites.
Hi, so what's up? It's me, Young Coconut. I'm so happy to collaborate with Tiny Bites.
Young Coconut featuring Tiny Bites.
Because we're young coconut. But our favourite thing to do...
This is Tiny Bites.
And he's really short with all these very tall models around him. But we love tiny bites.
Just crunching on their ankles.
Yeah. Maybe that would be like when tiny bites would shout out.
Yeah.
Crunching.
Oh, yeah.
We do, and we've gone to a few weddings together, and our favourite thing is we're always like, okay, spread out, and we try to see where the waiters are coming out of, so we can like grab, because we want to sample everything, so we always stand near a door, and the two of us will sort of go, yeah, I mean, I love them. Oh, it's so nice when they did the poem, but we're sort of slowly moving towards the corner. Hi, sorry, yeah, could I actually get one of those? And we love just little bites, because there's something about not having to nail yourself down to one choice. You don't have to just like go, even with this, I'm like, oh, I have to choose one thing. Yeah. Little tiny bites.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can have so many things.
I'm just thinking about him, sorry.
just little tiny bites.
Also, I'm quite excited with your meal so far because if I was to, like, I've always had a thing in my head of my dream banquet because I can't choose.
Ooh.
I can't choose just one meal like this. I always think about a table full of all the food I like.
Tiny bites.
Tiny bites, yeah, for example. And this is the closest, yours is the closest so far to things that I would have. So I would have the Thai calamari from Basaba at my banquet. I'd also have the lobster roll from Burger and Lobster at my banquet. They're two things that are already in my head before we started today.
Oh, can you imagine tiny bites of lobster roll? Little tiny bites of it.
Well, actually,
I can't get beyond tiny bites being a little rapper. So that's why I go vacant every time you say tiny bites. So here's a bit of a dilemma.
Yes.
Your main from Burger and Lobster comes with fries as standard. And now we've got to pick another side.
Yes.
Double potato. Double potato. It's tiny bites. Because this is what I was asking. Does the meal have to make
sense? It's up to you. But it's up to you. No one's judging you on this.
No.
It sounds like the two of you are judging me.
No, you do double potato if you want.
I will be choosing a big... creamy bowl of mash. Oh.
Even, and Monster you're not having mash. Sushi.
No, we've got sushi
actually,
underneath.
Without sushi. Yeah,
without sushi. I have a joke, and it's not really relevant, totally relevant, because that would be a Japanese-Irish mix. But I have a joke, which is, and it's, I remember, I think I did it at a gig before and you came out and booed me afterwards. You were emceeing.
I booed you?
Yeah, I think you did. Right. It was at the Union Chapel and I thought I'd try it out. Mm. I feel like it might have been you and I said, I'm going to go on and try this joke, but it's terrible. And then you came out afterwards and were like, boo, Aisling. It was very funny at the time. But here's my big joke. My ex-boyfriend was Irish Chinese. His name was Pat Noodle.
Yeah, that's why I booed it.
Yeah. That silence was what it got on the day as well, yeah. I just thought, I wasn't sure if it was a room itself. Or, yeah, a bit of a... I think a silence is worse than a boo.
Yeah. Mm. I thought it was going to be like a routine about food. Because, like, we always booed Josh Whittingham.
Sorry, I just slobber with my smoothie.
I should just have a big gulp of her green juice.
Oh, no, and,
there you go.
Oh,
just on the white bit of the jumper there.
Erupting out. That was not a tiny bite you took of that. Was a big gulp.
Yeah, I was doing it.
Big gulp is tiny bites. He's in his crew.
Big gulp is the big guy who stands behind and goes,
big gulp's the DJ.
Big gulp gets paid despite really only shouting his name over every track.
Yeah.
But it's enough to keep him going, like by a small semi-detached. Like he's happy with what he doesn't like. So, Tiny Bite comes in and goes, yo, I'm Tiny Bite. It's canapes. It's Tiny Bite.
Oh, so, sorry, does Tiny Bites also exclusively raps about small dishes?
Yeah.
Nibbles.
And then in the background, like, we'll go, big gulp.
Yeah.
Big gulp in the background.
It's like DJ Khaled.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got a big
Jazzy Jeff.
Big old creamy bowl of mash.
Big old creamy bowl of mash.
Is it from anywhere in particular?
Is it my own hand?
Do you make good mash?
I do make good mash, lads.
What's your secret?
Secret is...
Kerrygold, I'm guessing.
Kerrygold, without a doubt.
First of all.
Big lob of butter. You want to get, and this is actually going to a lot
this,
of details.
And sorry for interrupting here.
No.
You have Kerrygold on the... You're having Kerrygold on the sourdough bread, on the lobster.
Oh, yeah.
And adding the mash, yeah. Just checking.
Yeah, great. I'm all about that branding,
Yeah.
Bring back my Kerrygold because there's not much of it left, but there's enough for mash out of a bar. And you want to be specific about your spuds, guys. And that's not me asking you to check yourselves for testicular cancer. I mean,
but also do,
please check your spuds, boys.
What brings me joy?
Yeah, what brings you joy? Checking me spuds. Okay, thanks. I'll just take your order. And so I Queen's spuds are available in Ireland, but ironically not available in England, and they are a very flowery spud. And just when you mash them up, they've got a dryness to them. They're not waxy.
A King Edward would do, wouldn't it? That's a flowery spud.
Nah, as Little Bites might say.
Yeah.
Tiny Bites, rather. Little Bites is his brother, like Mini Snoop or whatever he's called.
Yeah, that's right. Mini Snoop.
Mini Snoop. Little Dog.
He's a someone, isn't there?
Yeah.
There is a like.
Little Bow Wow.
Little Bow Wow, yippee yo, yippee yay, you'll wear my dog's hat. Yeah, that's who it is. So flowery queen potatoes, not a waxy Edward, please. And
that's my nickname.
Waxy Edward.
And as you come onto stage, they go waxy Edward on. And then as you leave, you waxy Edward off.
Wow. That sounds delicious.
Yeah. And so mash 'em up, Kerrygold, milk.
Yes.
Secret.
Salt. Pepper's here.
You just reminded me.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And Ed doesn't know this about me. He's going to absolutely love this.
Oh, God.
I had a nickname, the Mash King.
Oh, I love it.
I was so good at making the mash. I would get called the Mash King in the kitchen. And I'd completely forgotten about it until you said milk. As soon as you said milk, I remembered how I used
suddenly,
to put the milk in.
It's like in it's like one of the Bourne films where suddenly you're remembering. Yeah.
Suddenly I remember that.
Where you're like,
that's why I'm the Mash King.
I was the Mash King.
King.
Or in any episode of CSI where like, we just can't crack this case. It's like it's a joke. And then someone go, a joke? A joke? 1 minute, I'll be back in an hour. Just tell us where you're going. We've all the time down in the lift where you have the time to tell us.
So that's good. So you've got the Mash King right here.
The Mash King's right here.
The Mash King approves.
Do you know what I only worry about that, James, is? I used to be, in inverted commas, really good at cleaning the house and the fridge in my house.
Yeah.
And Mammy would say, oh, Ashling, you're so good at cleaning the fridge and the... And now I know it was like, I was like, me? Good, okay, I'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
I feel like that was maybe the shit job.
Sure.
And they were like, James, aren't you so good? Yeah. We're going to call you the Mash King. And you're like, oh, all right.
I'd say it was not the people who were in charge were calling me the Mash King. It was the people who... So the people who worked on washing up and stuff.
The mash subjects.
Who would then eat leftover food, because that's what you do when you work and washing up in a kitchen. Well, they would complain. So I remember I'd come back from the shift and they'd go, oh, someone else was working the last shift, James. It was not the same. The mash was not as good because the Mash King didn't make it. It was so... I think I put cream instead of
interesting.
Milk.
So interesting.
Cream, butter, salt and pepper. Really mashed it good. And I did take a lot of pride in it, actually.
You know what you could also throw in there, James? Some parsley.
Oh, yeah, don't mind if I do. I think they would sprinkle it on the top when they sent it out in a dish, but maybe mixed into it.
Here's how precocious a young child I was. My grandmother made me some mashed potatoes. My grandmother once made me some mashed potatoes, and she was a very healthy lady, always looking after her health. And I said, "What have you put in these mashed potatoes?" And she said, "Oh, margarine." My mum remembers this distinctly. I said, "Gary Rhodes uses double cream."
Could it be more on brand?
What a little dick.
It's funny, you know the things you only want from your house? Like, my friend's mother sent me home to my own house for my dinner once, because she's like, "I can't have Ashley anymore because I only liked what I liked from my house." One of them was consommé soup. And it sounded so French. And that's just like old
bones. It's
like
broth, isn't it? Yeah, it's like stock, old bones. Basically, yeah.
But I just knew that's what I liked. And what I probably liked was salt.
Yeah.
And I'd like ask for consommé. And then I didn't know what the word vanilla was. So I just knew I liked Hazelbrook Farm ice cream. And so when I go around my friends, she'd like, "Do you want some soup?" I was like, "Is it consommé?" And she'd like, "Do you want some ice cream? Is it Hazelbrook Farm?" What I didn't know was the word vanilla. But like, I just wanted nothing to be different to the way it was in my house.
Oh, that's great.
What drink would you like?
I'd imagine a big cup of melted Kerrygold.
Please.
Do you know, so there's this coffee they have, and it's like bulletproof coffee.
Yes,
and
I'm aware of this.
For bodybuilders, Kerrygold has become the like go-to because it's a really pure...
It's grass-fed, right?
Yeah, it's grass-fed, beef and all that kind of stuff. So like bodybuilders are putting Kerrygold into their coffee at the moment. And they melt it in there for like extra good fats.
Amazing.
And then it like, what the point is that the coffee slowly releases energy rather than makes you go whing.
Right, okay.
Which there is some science to. But with a drink, it's interesting because I love a cup of green tea. Mm-hmm. I drink tea, I'd say I have 8 or 9 cups a day.
Wow.
Yeah, all of them. And what annoys everyone in my life is that I drink half the cup. Make a whole one, drink half. Because
you
get distracted.
Four cups of tea a day.
Maybe. All in all. Sometimes maybe two. I sip and I'm like, lovely. So I do love a cup of tea. And if I was in death row, I'd love a cup of tea. But I'm actually going to have to Google this on my phone. I went to a cocktail bar in New York City recently and had the nicest cocktail. It was so bloody delicious and alcoholy. It felt adulty, like a
grown
treat.
Up. Cocktails do make you feel some cocktails make you feel grown up.
Yeah, they have to taste like I think I got into cocktails through the really sweet ones, whiskey sours and stuff that you can't even taste the alcohol in it. But now I have to have ones that where you can taste it.
I'm a vodka martini man through and through.
Really?
Love it.
Yeah?
To kick off a meal, I absolutely love a vodka martini.
It's like Rocket Fuel. I can't remember what it's called, so I'm sorry to the actual establishment, but it's in Highgate or somewhere, or Tufnell Park or Archway. Yeah. And it was a vegetarian place, and they did this martini. It was a Vespa martini, but they used like... It was kept in, they grew their own rosemary in the garden.
Ooh.
And then they would put that in and they would leave it there for ages, like maybe weeks, maybe months before they gave it to you. And that's the best martini I've ever had. Actually, one of the best. I want it so badly now.
I remember you telling me about that place, Tufnell Park.
Yeah, Tufnell Park. Yeah.
Do you definitely, like, because what happens with me is, as like clear eating or when you're trying to be healthy, they recommend you have like vodka soda lime as a drink. Mm. So that's a go-to drink, but I'm not sure if I enjoy it or I just like train myself to go, it's not that bad. Do you definitely like that one as a...
No, I really do actually like
You do actually like it? Because you probably have to be careful what drinks you have with your old diabetes.
The old diabetes, well, alcohol's a bit annoying because I don't want to have anything too sweet because it spikes it, but then also drops it quite soon after, so...
I'm trying to find the name of
this place. Are you looking for a photo of the cocktail?
Basically, do you know what it is? It's more the name of the place is a phrase, and I keep on forgetting it because it's kind of like pass the parcel or passing ships in New York City. And it's a bit, it had a speakeasy vibe to it and it was really nice. Anyways, wherever this place is, had this cocktail called something like Love Me Good, and it was vermouth and cherry liqueur, a cherry in it. But it still managed to not be too cherry-ish and maybe a whiskey as well. and a rye, you know, it was rye in it.
Yeah.
And oh my God, it tasted desserty and whiskey-ish, and I love whiskey. And it just kind of covered my tongue in yumminess, and I just felt so adult drinking it.
Yeah,
speakeasy in your. I felt like an
feel
adult.
Like you're a mad
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Brown
it felt
drink.
Like a sort of yeah, like a brown drink.
Having a brown drink in New York.
God, yeah,
that sounds. Sorry,
it does
to be...
feel good. Been in New York having a brown drink.
Yeah.
It feels great actually. I'm getting quite excited about it. Yeah.
Sorry to be a bit blue, and I know you guys aren't, but having a brown drink really feels like a terrible euphemism for something.
St. Patrick's Day again.
Yeah, having a brown drink.
So, we don't want to overrun in this restaurant because you've only got the table for a certain amount of time.
Sure.
What a really nice way of saying, Aisling, hurry up.
No. A lot of this has been us. It's me getting distracted with little bites.
I've had a lot of fun.
Little bites.
Big up. It's pudding.
Tapas.
Who's tapas?
No, that's one of the things that he would say.
Oh, right.
And that's one of the things. And then he'd like tap an ass.
Yeah. I like to tapas. Can I pay? Can I pay?
For tapas.
Oh, yeah. Right.
To tapas, can I pay?
Like to tapas,
I don't know how
pay.
To put nibbles into it.
Or vol-au-vent.
Looking at your nibbles.
Yeah.
Vol-au-vent. Like to tapas, can I pay?
Yep. See you at the buffet. Oh, man. Right, guys. See you later. I'm retiring and I'm becoming a rapper. Because I just rhymed, can I pay with buffet?
Okay, it's dessert time.
It is. Dessert time. I'm picking a dessert that was more... When I was growing up, we had these lovely neighbours who lived next door, and one day they sold their house and were replaced by two English people. But we kept our minds open. Maybe they wouldn't be that bad. And so Shirley and Tim moved in next door.
Yeah.
Two English names. Never met a Tim before. Yeah. We didn't actually know any English people. Like, we just didn't know any English people. My mother knew a jockey called Bob Champion who was English and had come to our house before. But genuinely, we didn't sort of know what they'd be up to. I don't know. Would they try and Bob steal Champion. Things from us? We didn't know what their vibe would be.
Sure. Was he good, Bob Champion? Was he a champion?
No, he was. He actually was a champion jockey. Yeah. There was a film made about him. So he was the first celebrity we met because he survived cancer and then went back on to win a big race. I can't remember what it was.
Wow.
Ah, Seabiscuit. Yeah. Was it Seabiscuit, the film?
No, but that's that was my dessert. butter, lobster on a biscuit. Bob Champion... I think my brain's...
Tim and Shirley
invited us up for dinner at their house, and we were like, oh, we're going for dinner. And I was like 11 or something like that.
Yeah.
And normal dinner. Didn't try and poison us or anything. We were delighted. And then they got to dessert, and I'd never had pecans or hazelnuts before, which now is... guys... Two of my favourite nuts.
They're de rigueur for you.
Oh, yeah. You know how I love those little bites.
I would say
that's the original little bite. Mm-hmm.
A roasted salted pecan is, I think, my favourite snack in the world. Carry on.
See, salted for me, pecan. Pecan for me is a sweet thing. I don't agree. Okay. I told you at the start, Ted.
Yes,
crossing the streams.
Don't want to fall out. But she had made a cake, like a tart rather, with a hazelnut mousse. Bits of hazelnut thrown into the mousse, then set it and put roasted pecans on top of it with some kind of glaze. And I just never had, like, it was a dessert like off the telly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no wonder you guys took over half the bloody world. Look at you. And you'd be welcome to have our country back with, if this is what we are to expect, instead of a scone or apple tart. God, I feel so basic now. And it was so, I remember just going, a posher level of life.
Yeah.
It presented
but
to me.
You know what? Yeah. It may have seemed nicer having a posher level of life up there, mm-hmm. but then you guys went back down to the bottom of the ship and had a good old dance, didn't you?
We did. First to drown, though, once they, they didn't, the upper glass didn't open the cages to let us into the lifeboats.
True.
But we had a lovely little belly full of tart and a head full of music. So yeah, that always strikes me, because when I thought of dessert, I'm not the biggest dessert person in the world. I'm a savory gal. Y'all know how much I love butter. Butter all day, butter all night. My favorite butter dish, if you're asking, and I think you are, because I know we've got lots of time left.
Yeah, we're talking about bonus round of butter dishes.
My friend has a dish with a fat Buddha as a lid, and it's a butter dish. That's very clever. God, that got as much as my bad noodle joke.
I don't know, what is it? Boo, boo, boo. I thought that was a serious thing.
It's a Buddha.
It's a butter dish with Buddha on the top.
With a Buddha. So it looks like he's like really fat over the butter. And it's a Buddha dish.
You do so many accents that I thought you were doing another New York accent for butter. I thought Ash is doing another.
I'm treating James to another little trip into the imagination.
You did go into it so casually as well, like, my favourite butter dish. As if that was a pretty standard question. So yeah, he's still catching
up. Do you know what, guys,
that
I didn't realise would be happening during the podcast? A review of everything I say.
Sorry.
So, a hazelnut and pecan tart.
Yeah, just the nuttiness of it. Hazelnuts are good. Oh, they're such a tasty...
May I ask how you conducted yourself that evening once you'd eaten the tart? Because surely you wanted some more tart and you had to be smart about when you asked for it.
I didn't really at the time. I think I was getting away with being 11. Also, like, when I was 11, I kind of had this personality. So, I've never been a shy person. Yeah. And I think I've been like, and I also... I like being around elderly people a lot. I'm like, where did you get this tart, Shirley? Jesus, lovely. Can I have another bit of it? Yeah. So, I was able to like horse it into my face.
That's loads and loads of more tart.
Yeah, like elderly. I can kind of
charm the
elderly.
Was it
hit
with the whole family
person.
Or just you?
I can't actually remember. I think I was so brought into this swirl of wow. I just remember me sitting at their kitchen table eating. I don't remember anything else afterwards. I think they might have put
just went
I don't
blurry
remember.
Around
weeks
you.
Passed actually, and I've no memories.
Never saw Tim and Shirley again.
Yeah, but I have that tattoo with numbers on my back. I don't know what happened.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea's sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Mr. Genie Waiter,
yes.
Would you like to take us through the order?
Absolutely, let me just get your order right.
God, it's taken ages to order, hasn't it?
Yeah. We get to do the whole meal at once.
We're very
social.
Yeah.
You would like some still water and some sourdough bread with some Kerrygold butter.
Thank you.
You'd like calamari to start, salt and pepper preferably, with some aioli dip. And
squeeze a lemon
on top of it. You would like lobster from Burger and Lobster as your main course, which comes with fries anyway.
It must be served with people I don't fancy in a bib.
There has to be three people, preferably Irish men who do not fancy.
So I couldn't bring any of the three of you guys.
Thank you. Nice to be involved in that, Great Benito. a mash, creamy, made by your own hands.
Made by my own
Kerrygold.
Hands.
That's Kerrygold great. In there as well. Also box. Lobster, from Burger Lobster, if it could have Kerrygold butter, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
A love me good drink, love me good cocktail.
Oh yeah, if it's called that, whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it is now. And the and also Shirley and Tim's hazelnut and pecan tart for dessert.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
For dessert.
Another satisfied customer.
Yeah, absolutely.
How much is that going to cost me?
Nothing.
What?
It's on the house.
Jesus Christ.
It's on the house. Part of me being a genie means that I'm able to rob a bank to pay for it for you.
Aisling, thank you so much for coming to the restaurant. You've been a wonderful guest, and I apologise for the lateness of the waiter.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I apologise as well. I was stuck in my lamp.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys. I've enjoyed myself, and I will count this as a date, and I'll tell you which one I'll be picking out of the three of you within an email.
We'll let everyone know on the next episode.
It won't be me. I'll be late for a date, won't I?
Yeah. Put it this way, James, not to spoil anything, but it won't be you.
Oh,
uh-oh.
No.
Thank you very much.
Bye. And we'd like to do a big shout out to Lil Bites, Big Gulp, all the fans.
Was that another one?
No, no, I think that was it.
Young Coconut.
Oh, Young Coconut. Oh,
and of course, my boy Young Coconut.
Bloody good episode that, mate.
What a great meal. I loved it so much. Well done.
I think that's probably the closest to what you might have.
Yeah, well, you know, it was close to the Thai calamari from Basaba.
Yeah.
The lobster roll from Burger and Lobster. Those would be very close contenders for my favourite meal.
And I saw when Aisling was talking about that pecan tart, I saw your eyes light up.
I did like the sound of it, yeah. But I haven't tried Shirley and Tim's pecan tart.
But it appeals to you that it was made by people called Shirley and Tim as well.
Very much so, yeah. I like the fact it was made by Shirley and Tim.
They sound like good, honest folks.
Yeah, they do.
So that was Aisling Beer, wonderful comedian, actor, all of those things. You can actually see Aisling stand up on Netflix.
The Comedy Lineup.
On the Comedy Lineup. It's like a sort of, it's like a 15 minute set, I believe, like a 15 minute special.
Which, by the way, is not enough. Once you watch Aisling for 15 minutes, you'll be trawling for clips of her on YouTube, trying to get so much more Aisling B in your life. Let me tell you.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. That's what you'd be saying. Give me some more Aisling.
Oh, yeah.
That 15-minute special, which I think is enough, actually, generally. I think any longer than that, personally, for stand-up. I mean, it's what is it? It's 2 hours, 45 minutes shorter than your Netflix content, isn't it, James?
Yeah, well, you know.
You take a lot longer to get going. Aisling's got more
impact. Yeah, I'll build it to points. By the way, Aisling is still in the room and really laughing at the fact.
Sorry. Yum, 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 yum. I'm delighted, yeah.
So, I mean, it's great fun talking about someone as if they're not here when they're sat in the room.
Yep.
Don't mind me. Just ignore me.
So that's where you can check out Aisling's content. Personally, I'd like to say, please come and see me on tour. I'm touring my show that's called Blizzard. I start in late Jan, kicking off at Norwich Playhouse for a couple of nights, and then I go all over the country for the few months after that.
Oh, that'll be a fantastic show.
If you go to Ed Gamble's,
once you've watched it, you will want it more, and you'll go on YouTube. Yum, yum, yum.
Yum, yum,
Ed
yum.
Gamble.
Edgamble.co.uk/gigs is where you can check out the tour.
I'm also on tour. It's called Cold Lasagna, Hate Myself, 1999. And also, me and my friend Josh Widdicombe have filmed a series for Dave called Hypothetical. It's a panel show where we pose the guests hypothetical scenarios. And so that is coming out, I believe, early February.
I wonder what sort of legends appear on episodes of that.
You are on it. Yep, Ed's on it.
Boo.
Aisling was away.
Right.
He was not in the country.
So check out all of those things.
Yeah.
Get yourselves onto iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast. Subscribe to this podcast. Review it. Tell your friends. Just
Instagram.
Let us know.
Instagram it, actually. Thank you, Aisling.
Let us know what your
picture of you listening to it and eating.
Would be.
Yeah, eating your favourite food. A picture of you eating your favourite food with hashtag off menu podcast.
And I'll tell you what, I guarantee you this. I'll never respond.
Follow us on Twitter as well at Off Menu Official. That's where you need to be looking.
Yeah.
Follow us. We'll be sending updates about who we've got coming up. We've got some wonderful guests coming up.
I say we.
Including.
The Great Benito's going to be doing that.
Who have we got coming up? Shall I just name some people and then hope that we.
Lou Sanders coming up.
Phil Wang.
Tom Hardy. Worth a punt.
Yeah, that's just worth a punt, actually.
Paul Rudd's coming on to do his dry meal.
Yeah, no sauces.
Yeah, that's a different podcast. So keep listening, subscribe, all that sort of shit. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.